Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court podcast host Cortez Paul, along with my co-host Kevin Carter. I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. You can go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those, and definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Balls Not Court podcast. Cortez Paul is here. Mr. Paul Mack is joining me this evening. How your Thursday going today or tonight, boss man?
Football season's over, man. It's over.
Oh,
it's done.
You feel a certain type of way?
I mean, it's fine. You know, we still got the All-Star break coming up in the NBA, so you know, things will hopefully pick up in the NBA going forward. We got, you know, a lot of teams fighting, but it's a tough time. It's a tough time of year. You only got three games on tonight. There's nothing else. I mean, there's some hockey, but just a weeknight for sports. So I have nothing to really watch. So here we are.
Yeah. And you're right. As far as because some of these players that are going to the All-Star game or the events, they're not going to play much. So I kind of hit my parlays. And Giannis, for example, I took the under. They're playing a hurt Memphis team. He's not going to score. I guess they had him at 28 points. He's not going to score.
Yeah, he won't. I have him in one of my parlays too. He ain't playing the whole game. He'll be all right.
Yeah. And then I want to check on my Luke Kennard one because he's not playing, but I chose all him under. So I was like, yes. So that's three. That's three. I'm going to hit on that already.
Yeah, I had to make a hockey parlay today. That's how bad it is. I don't know shit about hockey. I made a hockey parlay. I don't know shit about hockey.
Wow. You are in the trenches, my friend.
Got to fill the void in my heart somehow, pal.
Hey, nonetheless. Well, hey, we're going to talk about the game first, and we're going to dive into the whole experience of what was the Super Bowl. So, unfortunately, the Kansas City Chiefs are back-to-back champions, 25-22, a game that went down to the wire, that went to overtime. So, as me and Paul was on a podcast last time, and I kind of made that whole the Empire Strikes Back joke, and I was just so annoyed with that game. But, it went down to the wire, went to overtime, and Pat Mahomes went ahead and threw the going ahead touchdown to Bo Hartman Jr. And that was all she
wrote. He did what Patrick Mahomes does, man.
Exactly. So, Paul, talk to me about this game, your thoughts. 49ers seem to be moving the ball at will, but you know, it's one of those you move the balls and you kind of don't put up any as much points as you should when you move the ball like that initially. Your thoughts about that game in general, man?
Yeah, I mean, they had every opportunity in the first half to really cement this game. I mean, they were up, you know, 10-3 at halftime. They could have easily been up two scores. They just couldn't capitalize in the red zone. There's some ugly football early on. I mean, each team had a turnover. McCaffrey had a fumble. Pacheco had a fumble. So there was some sloppy play early, but I think the Chiefs just outcoached them, man. They got outcoached in that second half. And the way that Andy Reid is able to kind of open up the playbook a little bit on offense. And you already know Patrick Mahomes down a touchdown at halftime. That's basically 0-0. I mean, that's not a win. That's not a moral. That's not a moral victory, you know, being up 10-3 at halftime. So, I mean, they had their opportunities, and, you know, coming out of halftime, the 49ers were playing very conservatively. Like, they didn't run the ball much to start the third quarter. They didn't really give it to Christian McCaffrey until the game started getting closer. And by then, I mean, you know, he wasn't as effective as he was earlier in the game. You know, he was more effective out of the backfield, if anything. But yeah, man, I said it the night of and after the game that Patrick Mahomes is the best football player I've ever seen. Like, I hate to say it, but, you know, they kept Travis Kelce in check for three quarters. He goes off in the fourth quarter. Mahomes starts to get a rhythm. And you already know that once it goes to overtime, you already know what's going to happen.
Yeah, man. It's one of those two that I just feel like the 49ers didn't – when they came out slow to start that third quarter – and they kind of got pass heavy. Listen, you got CMC and Elijah Mitchell, you know, chip away, make it these downs that are doable, that are like 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4. I think it's a lot of fortunate things happen for the 49ers. Now, I'm not really trying to make excuses for them. Armstead runs out, get ready to go into the huddle, and boom, Achilles. Like, that's just random. He's jumping up and down, get ready to get himself hyped and go into the field and Achilles. Like, just so unfortunate. Like,
there was some freak stuff going on, man. There was some weird stuff.
Yeah. And once he went down, coincidence that Travis Kelce kind of got going. You know, it was at the end of the day, I don't know if it was just I don't know. And listen, Brock Purdy did a fantastic job for what he was put in. Like, he did a good job. Like, it's not on him why they lost. I know there's been a lot of writing about him being the game manager, and, you know, he's got a bunch of pieces around him, which he does. He, you know, this team is built for contention now, and the quarterback being the guy, you know, you want to make sure that you feed all these mouths that you have on your team. George Kittle, I don't know where he was.
He got hurt in the fourth quarter. He hurt his shoulder or something in the fourth quarter. So he missed some time in the fourth quarter, but he was non-existent through the first three quarters.
Yeah.
Debo got hurt a little bit. He left for a couple plays. You know, there was a lot happening there. That momentum was just shifting the Chiefs' way. And, you know, it's unfortunate. Because, you know, Brock Purdy had a hell of a season, and he played a hell of a game. I mean, he didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he did fantastic, you know, going against across the guy defense? Across the other side of the field, and then that defense too. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's what they only got. Brock Purdy got sacked once compared to Pat Mahomes 3. So, like, we was on this podcast screaming that if you want to apply the pressure, you got to sack Pat Mahomes. 49ers did that.
I mean, the big difference too was that, you know, they may not have sacked Brock Purdy, but they weren't giving up those gashing runs that, like, the Lions gave up to him. He only had like 13 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as opposed to Patrick Mahomes had some big runs in the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah,
and that's always the difference, man. It's just those little things where they didn't break contain. They were disciplined with Brock Purdy. He got outside the pocket. He might have scrambled for two or three, but they were on him to get him out of bounds or get him down, and they didn't let those drives extend. They didn't get a lot of those third and shorts where, you know, McCaffrey's much more of a weapon. They had a lot of third and medium situations, and it was just well played by Steve Spagnuolo. I mean, you know, championship pedigree defensive coordinator, confusing the young quarterback a lot of the times. I just think the Chiefs outcoached them on both sides of the ball. And I know the Niners fired their defensive coordinator just the other day. So, you know, is it his fault? I don't know. But I guess you got to blame somebody. But for me, it's just, you know, coming into the third quarter, down a touchdown, it's hard not to bet it's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever you get that much cushion, and then as you mentioned, you know, the 49ers were 3-12 from third down. That's not going to do it against a Pat Mahomes led team. You got to convert more third downs on that. And they was playing the field position game with them and whatnot. And it just spells for disaster. So, but nah, listen, man, I know 49ers just this team that just can't get over the hump. And this is also in lines with the Bills. This also falls in with the Ravens. Honestly, Pat Mahomes and these Chiefs are just a team to beat. We was talking about this team struggling, you know, during parts of the season and overlooking them. But they got enough to just get to the postseason and make their run there. It helps that their division is not the best. But at the end of the day, you know, they went on the road and won in two tough places, put themselves in line of success to be in the Super Bowl. And credit to them, they did know the overtime rules, unlike the 49ers. How do you don't know the rules to the overtime? And why would you give Pat Mahomes the ball first? I don't know. There was a lot of criticism in that, but it's hard to win, man. Like, it's hard to win the big game, man. And a team just like that that's just got Pat Mahomes, and then you had that great defense beside with him, but, you know, Chris Jones leading the brigade and George Kalafis is leading that as well. So they really built themselves up on the defense side of the ball. Crazy thing is now that we admit they could have got better at the wide receiver position. Winning, people like to come to winning teams at a discount. So they're going to reload here.
And it'll be an interesting offseason for Kansas City. I'm sure they'll land someone.
Yeah, for sure. So Pat Mahomes also won the MVP, Super Bowl MVP. I want to say this is third, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it's third. So we've been preaching what this guy is and what he means to his team and the way he's putting the NFL on notice and how he wins his games, man. So, like, Paul, talk to me about Pat Mahomes and how much left does he really got left, man, to really, you know, this we saying the word dynasty is flowing around with Kansas City. So is this something that the dynasty is going to continue for a while and everything just going to go through Kansas City?
I mean, they started the worst they could start a season, and they still won the Super Bowl. You know, they're statistically one of the worst offenses Kansas City's had in the Patrick Mahomes era. They weren't, you know, throwing the ball all over the yard. He wasn't throwing for, you know, thousands of yards this year. We saw the emergence of an Isaiah Pacheco. I mean, having a dominant running back is huge, especially when they played some of those games late in the season in tough weather. But, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is, you know, he's the GOAT, man. I mean, and I know people are going to be like, oh, well, he hasn't won without Andy Reid. He hasn't won without Travis Kelce. I get it. But, I mean, Tom Brady won how many Super Bowls with Bill Belichick? And then he went and won one with, you know, Bruce Arians, who's a really good football coach. So, I mean, a good coach, they're few and far between. And I'd specify a great coach, because Andy Reid is a great football coach. And he's the perfect guy for Patrick Mahomes. And just, I mean, Mahomes by himself threw for 333, two touchdowns, ran for 66. Similar to Brock Purdy against Detroit, he ran for, you know, over 7 yards a carry. So that just shows you the difference on those third downs, either converting those third downs or getting them to third and manageable where you're able to extend those drives. Guy just does what he has to because he does not have the weapons he normally has. He does not have the guys he's used to having on the outside. And, you know, he threw a pick early. Didn't fluster him. He just kept going. He was just trying to make a play, get some momentum going. But he just doesn't get flustered. And it's crazy to see because he's not even that old. I mean, what is he now? How old is Patrick Mahomes now?
Like 28, something there. He's still in his 30s, under his 30s.
28 years old. Yeah, so he's 28 years old. So, I mean, this is a guy still got a hell of a football year, a football career ahead of him.
I mean, these quarterbacks, they're shelf for life. I mean, I know his game is rely a little bit more moving out the pocket and stuff like that. But for the most part, he know how to protect himself. And, I mean, he at least, if I'm just putting a tag on it, probably got at least 7 top years of productivity left. And he'll still be a solid quarterback behind that because he still can throw the ball. Yeah, man, like, dude, we're talking about a dynasty here, man. Like, and as much as I hate to say that word in regards to the Chiefs, but, I mean, for him to do this.
It's not good news. It's not good news for you, that's for sure.
No, man. Like, it's more me being dumbfounded. And it's Pat Mahomes is one hell of a player. I can say that. But man, I'm just like, you know, I saw this with Brady running the NFC East. I'm getting to see this in the AFC West, man. And Bud Jokes thanks to Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, you get it twice a year. That's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You know, and all this, you know, yeah, we beat them, but they won a big game, man. Who cares? We've been during the regular season. Want to win the count, man. So cool, man. Well, hey, once again, hats off to them. We're not saying congratulations to the staff, just say hats off to them. To the Kansas City Chiefs, they are the Super Bowl champions, and they had a parade. Unfortunately, it ended with some shooting and I think one person got killed and 10 got injured. People, come on, man. It's supposed to be a good time. Yeah, man. Celebrate, man. Your team come back home with in the back-to-back Super Bowl win, and this is what we're doing. So
the Niners will be back, though. This is going to be a kind of a rivalry I think we're going to see for the next few years. I think the Niners will be right back in the thick of it next year, and these two teams – collision course for one another, I think, for the next few years to come, as long as, you know, injuries permit. I think that these two teams are going to be the cream of the crop for the next little bit here. So we'll probably talk about this game again very soon.
Absolutely. Talk to me about Super Bowl commercials. Talk to me about the Super Bowl halftime show. What you like, what you didn't like.
I mean, aside from the Jesus and the feet commercial, like I don't really remember much of the commercials. I mean, there was that weird one with Ben Affleck in the Dunkin' Donuts tracksuit where he goes up to Jennifer Lopez and tries to get on one of her songs. That was a weird thing. And I guess Dunkin' Donuts actually sold that tracksuit, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. It was all kind of lackluster to me. Nothing really jumped off the page. It's like, oh man, did you see that commercial? It was so funny, or it was so good, or it was so whatever. It's a weird world now because like we're streaming everything. So it's just, you know, they're there, but you know, do I need to see Dan Newland wearing a MAGA hat talking about how much money he saved a veteran on car accidents? Like, I don't need that. It's not a good look, but
yeah,
you know. And then as far as the halftime show, I mean, it was what I expected it to be. It only took about, you know, 5 minutes before Usher took his shirt off, and then you know, sang all the hits. I'm sure a lot of these kids didn't know half those songs, but I know everybody who's our age knew exactly what he was doing. It's hard to think that album's 20 years old, man.
I know, right?
Confessions, 20 years old. Sheesh. Man, we're getting there.
What you think about him? What you think about him hugging Alicia Keys from the back like that?
Hey, that's the shit that got him. That's the shit that got him and Keke Palmer's husband in trouble. Now you need to stop that. You need to cut that out.
Can I tell you the Boondocks was right? The Boondocks was right. Like, hey, we usher around your girl. Like,
that's right.
But apparently, listen. And Swish Beats handled as best as he could. He sent out a tweet talking about, y'all making a whole lot out loud, nothing. That's just art. You know, it is what it is. And so him being a bigger man, cool man. But knowing Usher's kind of flirtatious past, nah, dog. Don't be grabbing my woman like that. Come on.
Yeah,
man.
No.
You know?
So and then, that, you know, and then he brings out I didn't know – and I know this is like a meme now, but I legit didn't know if that was CeeLo or Jermaine Dupri. I had no idea who that was when I first saw him dressed up like Shirley Temple. I didn't know who that was.
Threw me off for a bit, too. I didn't know who that was until I'm like, yo, oh, that was Jermaine Dupri.
That was, yeah. I was like, man, he's tiny. He's a little guy.
Wow. Like, geez, what's shoes he wearing too? Yeah,
yeah, man. Like, Jesus. And then next thing you know, they're out there on roller skates, and then Lil Jon shows up, and Ludacris comes dressed out like he's a member of Globo Gym.
Did you see that they throw like two guys just randomly up in the air during that halftime performance? I don't know, that was just in the background. They just tossed someone up in the air, and you just see someone while Usher's singing. This dude just getting tossed up in the air, and I think they didn't catch him.
I don't think so.
Like, yeah, so like, they didn't catch him. The Super Bowl, listen, it's the age that we are feeling now, Paul, that we know these halftime acts. So now we're vibing to it because we know this music is what we grew up on. So it's kind of like a cross point. Like, oh, okay, man, yeah, man, this is a cool halftime act show. Like, oh, man, dang, I grew up with this. Now I'm feeling, oh, okay, cool. Commercials, I mean, listen, I was at Super Bowl party. We had a couple people that were just, I'm trying Jordan Spears, but there's certain people that don't watch football, but they're trying to talk to the people that watch football. It's like, yo, like, just stop for like 5 minutes. I'm literally like trying to end a conversation when I'm turning this way. Like, yeah, dude, I'm trying to watch the game. Like, you see me not leaning toward you to talk. Like, bro, it's 3rd and 6. Like, leave me alone. So there were certain people that was that guy at the Super Bowl party. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. I didn't really catch much commercials, but I did see one. I saw a Jesus Save commercial. That was cool, I guess.
That was one with the feet, bro. That was one with the feet where, yeah, Jesus doesn't judge people. He just likes feet or whatever it was.
Yeah. I was like
Jesus just wants to rub feet. He doesn't care about your skin color or your sexual orientation. He just wants to rub your feet after a long day. That's all Jesus wants to do.
Yeah. No, it was.
It was weird.
Yeah, I guess that was the one. I'm like, okay, it's one of those that we gotta walk a thin line here because religion and politics get into a lot of people. I won't cross that bridge. Anywho, it was.
And I remember it, so it worked.
And then all you saw, yeah, exactly, it worked. But then you saw a lot of people on social media like, well, task the church. I'm like, oh my god, see, this is why we shouldn't have did stuff like this, but. Hey, to each his own, man. So it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, I did like the there was one with Patrick Stewart where he was like throwing footballs with like the Nickelodeon characters and stuff. I think it was for Paramount Plus. That one was pretty funny. This is because Patrick Stewart, you know, it's Patrick Stewart. And then obviously the Deadpool teaser, that was huge. Apparently that was the most like watched trailer in the history of like YouTube or something like that. So yeah, there was a few things there, but yeah, whatever.
Did you play the drinking game when y'all saw Taylor Swift? I know we played the drinking game. Every time we saw her, we took a sip of our drink.
They didn't show her very much. She didn't have very much screen time.
They showed her about like 14 times. I remember taking a sip of my drink like 14, 15 times from what I could
remember. I mean, overall screen time, though, it wasn't very long. Like she was on this.
Oh, yeah. Movie. It just blanked on and off. So, mm-hmm. But. I felt
she
so
chugged
bad.
She chugged the hell out of that beer, though. I knew the moment she chugged that beer, that game was over. I'm like, oh no, that's it.
Yep. And then, of course, you saw Jason Kelce was wrecked. He was walking like this,
big Yeti, baby.
That dude is a tank, bro. Like he is. That dude's not coming back. I know he's talking about, oh, I didn't make a decision. You're not coming back. You're not coming back.
He's done all he can do. He's fine.
No, absolutely, man. So, but no, man. All in all, definitely the game was good. They said the NFL Super Bowl had the most viewers since the moon landing. It's a lot, man.
That's because Usher wasn't at the moon landing.
As soon as I took that shirt off, all them old middle-aged women that we all went to high school with went crazy. Yeah. Ah,
They made sure their kids. They made sure their kids were in bed by, you know, 9 o'clock. They were good.
Yeah, yeah. All we missing was, as you said last week, was Janet Jackson. So, it's all good. Nonetheless, Super Bowl is here. We definitely gonna be tapping into some football. So, of course, free agency. We'll get into that. And now we're gonna make a before we make the transition. I'm sure Paul wants to tell you what's on his mind and let him know who this guy stinks. This segment here. So let's.
I mean, you kind of hinted at it earlier. I mean, it's you know, there's only one football game. It's a group of people, not just one person, but it's the fact that the San Francisco 49ers allegedly didn't understand the rules to overtime. Like, I feel like that should be explained. I feel like Kyle Shanahan's a smart enough guy where he should know the rules to overtime. That should be relayed, and you don't literally – and then even if you just found out at the coin toss, even if you just found out that, hey, new game, you both get the ball. If you score, it doesn't matter. They get a chance to come down and score, and if it's tied, we just keep going, whatever. And for the 49ers to receive the kickoff to start off overtime only to get a field goal to then give the ball to Kansas City, knowing damn well they are not playing for a tie.
No.
It's absolutely wild to me. And, you know, all parties involved. Apparently the Chiefs said that they practiced that stuff. They knew about it multiple times throughout the entire postseason. They knew how overtime worked for the playoffs. And it's just silly that you're going to come out with that kind of excuse of, oh, we didn't know the rules, when they're out there, everyone has access to them, and you're in the Super Bowl, and you have to prepare for every situation possible. And you as a football team didn't prepare for what happens if we're tied after four quarters and we happen to go into overtime, what our game plan would be against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. It's a damn shame. And, you know, maybe Fred Warner didn't know at the kickoff. Maybe he won the coin toss. He said, we want the ball, because maybe it's Fred Warner's fault. I don't know. Maybe he fell asleep during film sessions. I don't know what his deal is. But, yeah, man, that potentially cost you the Super Bowl. That cost you the Super Bowl. So not knowing the rules, not understanding, you know, the way the game is played. So I don't even have a soundbite for that. It's just more so depressing, and it stinks that the Super Bowl had to end that way. Because the moment they got a field goal and they were up three, I knew it was over. I knew it was done, and there wasn't a chance in hell. The way momentum was going in that second half, that the Chiefs scored 16 points in the second half, there was not a shadow of doubt in my brain that they weren't going to score a touchdown in overtime. So why wouldn't you just give them the ball first, get it out of the way, if you're not confident enough in your defense or whatever it may be, just get it out of the way and then give your team the final drive in overtime to decide their fate. I would rather lose with the ball not converting a touchdown to win the Super Bowl than letting Patrick Mahomes have it and just marching it down my throat. So to the San Francisco 49ers and everyone involved, Your decision making fucking stinks, and that's unfortunate, because it could have been a hell of a Super Bowl, and then it ends the way it ends, and that's the excuse, is we didn't know the rules. So read the fucking rules, learn the rules, and just fucking be better, because that's fucking tough.
You guys have these meeting sessions, like film sessions, things to talk about. And how do you not know the rules to the overtime? Your paid professionals, your coaching staff is supposed to know this stuff too. And it's just flat out embarrassing. So it doesn't even deserve this thing, this guy's things. It's just, it's pathetic, and it's lack of preparation. So 49ers, be better, man. Be better. And that's why I lost. And blame your defense coordinator by firing. That's good stuff, guys.
It's like if you're in a championship fight and you're fighting for the belt. I don't know about you, but I'm going down swinging. I'm getting knocked out. I'm either winning or I'm getting knocked out. I'm not letting someone else decide if I won or lost. And that's they need that Dan Campbell mentality, and they just didn't have it. They took their foot off the gas early, and they just never regained it. And it's just wild, because on paper they were the better team. It was pretty evenly matched, but offensively they just couldn't get the ball going. And to go into overtime and to take a field goal, like, I would have much rather played for the touchdown, not gotten it. The Chiefs get the ball anyway and let them try to win the game. But I'm going down swinging, and they didn't go down swinging. They literally lit on their backs, and Patrick Mahomes rubbed their belly and put them to sleep. It was it was unfortunate, but yeah, so shit stinks.
Absolutely. Good segment, sir, and spoke nothing but the truth there. All right, NBA All-Star Weekend is taking place tomorrow, taking place in Indiana. Gainbridge Fieldhouse, this is the home of the Indiana Pacers. So this has been, as always, so fun for me to watch. And I enjoy it just as a fan. So always better when you have a player representing your team in these events. And so it's going to be a fun-filled weekend for anybody that's involved. Watching this and whatnot. I already took plans off for Saturday and Sunday. I took half days of work to come attend and watch this. This is literally my baby, man. I sit here and I enjoy all this event. And I wanted to go, but things just didn't line up. So I have to monitor to see what they do. They got the location. I just don't think top of my head next year. Maybe I'll try to think about going. But so I always start with Friday. Off the top of my head, I don't know. I know that they release locations. If I look it up, I can give you the answer. But right off the top of my head, I'm just blanking on it right now.
So, I mean, shout out Indiana for securing an All-Star game.
Yeah, man, for sure. They're going to be displaying that LED court. So that's going to be cool to see how that look like. Hopefully it's not too crazy on the eyes, because as we did the in-season tournament, some of those courts were just so bad, as we mentioned home on our previous podcast and when they did play those games. So should be a good weekend, man. But let's start off with the Rising Stars. So teams are separated into four teams, and former players, NBA and WNBA, are heading these teams. So you got Paul Gasol leading one team that features Victor Wembanyama is the main player. Team Tamika Catchings, which features Paolo Banchero, the Orlando Magic. Team Jalen is featuring Chet Holmgren. Chet Holmgren's the main guy on that team. Yeah. Jalen Rose. Yep. And then Team Detlef Schrift, the former Seattle Supersonics legend. That team is led by the G League. So you have Matt McClung, who played for Osceola. You got Oscar Tshiebwe. I forgot his name, but he's played for the Kentucky Wildcats. Thank you. Yeah. So that he'll be leading the G League team. So the way this format is going to be is four teams played in C's, and then they match up. So I want to say, I'm going to ask you, Paul, knowing what you know and seeing some of these rosters, who's your favorite? Who's your favorite to win this?
Team Pau. I think Team Pau. I think people, and I've been kind of watching this guy a little bit, but I think people are really sleeping on Brandon Miller in Charlotte, because he's in Charlotte. Brandon Miller is really good. And then obviously Victor Wembanyama, you know, freak. Jaime Jaquez Jr., I know he started the season out really, really hot. Then he had an injury and he kind of came back. And then Podzimski from Golden State's not bad. So, I mean, I just think as a team, I think Powell really drafted guys that would play well as a team. Tamika Catchings literally just has the Detroit Pistons. So we know how good they are. Throwing a G League team in there is silly. I mean, whatever. But I think Pau has the squad. I mean, obviously, regardless of who's on that team, they're not going to play a lot of minutes. You know, Wimby doesn't play a lot of minutes as it is. So he'll start that game, probably play 5 minutes, and he won't play anymore. So he won't really be a factor, I don't think. But there's not much defense in these kind of games anyways. But
no.
I'll take Team Pau if I had to choose one of them. I'm going to go Team Pau. God knows how to pick a team, win a championship.
No, for sure. Yeah, I don't expect Pau to play too much. He'd be in there, and then Scoot. Vince Williams Jr. is having a nice year with the Memphis Grizzlies. All their injuries they're dealing with, they've been the most injured team in the league. I know how that feel. Been there before as a Magic.
Their injury report's crazy.
They're pretty bad right now, man. So the team Jalen to me is interesting, man. You got a lot of size. You got Chet Holmgren. Derek Lively II is having a fantastic year in Dallas. Lucas got that really pick and roll lob threat. It really worked well. Wasp Kessler is the dog on the boards. Jeremy Sochan, he's been achieved having ball handling duties in San Antonio. Jalen Williams is having a fantastic year in OKC. Bennett Mathurin, it's kind of like a down year. Jordan Hawkins can shoot the ball, lights out. Dude dropped 30 points, I think one game already this year as a rookie. So, I think Team Jalen is going to make some noise. I get why you're skeptical of the G League team, but let's see what they got, man. As always, when you play against some dogs, man, you got to bring it. So while some of these guys will probably be like sleepwalking, boys probably gonna be ready to play. So
that's true. Those guys are playing for a contract. A lot of those guys.
Yeah. So it might make some noise a little bit, but they got some decent talent. That's why I said I know a couple of these guys. And some of this is G Select team, and they just pick some of this. But Matt McClellan is doing this thing in Osceola, so we'll see. But honestly, I see where Team Paul is stacked, though. It is, yeah. It is stacked, man. So it's one of those that they should win it, but I think Team Jalen gonna surprise some people, man. So I go with Team Jalen. So yeah, I'm just going in about the events, and this is the interesting one here on Saturday is the Stephen versus Sabrina, where Steph Curry is going to go against Sabrina Ionescu, the New York Liberty, WNBA, of course, Steph Curry, the Golden State Warriors, the NBA. They're going to have the NBA all-time three-point leader going against the WNBA single-season three-point record holder. And so the whole spin on this is that Steph is going to shoot with an NBA ball from the NBA regulation line. Versus Sabrina, who is going to shoot from a WNBA three-point regulation line and with WNBA ball. They will have a regular three-pointer value at 1,000, money ball be at 2,000, and a starting range ball, which is deep three-pointer from 29 feet 9 inches away, is 3,000. All this is a donation from State Farm to the NBA Foundation to help support the economic empowerment of Black community. That is what the value of the three-pointer that's made here. So it's going for a big cause. So in the hand side of this, Paul, what do you think about this event? It's a nice twist on this. The WNBA flamethrower and Sabrina, Steph Curry, who is the all-time three-point shooter. So what's your thoughts about this, man?
I think it's cool for the NBA to include some WNBA into the All-Star Weekend, get some national spotlight. You know, two of the best shooters in their respective leagues. Some friendly competition. I think it'll be fun. I mean, I'll watch it. I'm going to assume Steph would probably win that, being as he's been in these contests before. He's played under the big lights. He's won championships. But I mean, it's still cool for the WNBA to get some notoriety and spring, just having one of their players play and partake in NBA All-Star Weekend. So I mean, it's cool. I like them trying to keep it fresh, and you know, do something that hasn't really been done before, and just kind of, you know, shed some spotlight on the WNBA, because you know they're the little sister to the NBA, so it's cool to do with that and on national TV and a national televised event to see Sabrina Ionescu have an opportunity to go up against Steph Curry. Steph being a man, taking the challenge, doing their thing for charity or whatever they got going on. So it'd be cool. It'd be fun.
Yeah, man. So it is cool, man. So Curry's foundation is Eat, Learn, Play. Sabrina's is SI20 Foundation. Like you say, it's just cool for them to – we're trying to definitely get the WNBA more of a limelight. It is growing at a fast rate. They're going to add two new teams to the league. So it is going. It's going to be fun to watch. It's always cool to see events like this. Sabrina is a flamethrower. I know Paul mentioned that she didn't have the best showing in WNBA Finals against the Las Vegas Aces. But nah, man, she can flat out shoot with the best of them. And Curry, as we mentioned this, I mean, we all pretty much agree this, he's the best to ever done it. And he changed the landscape of NBA because of his shooting. So, and I was wondering, like, why is he not in the 3-point shooting competition? This is why he's participating in this. And process step, man. Step is always so very complimentary of the WNBA. And for him to accept this and just speaks volumes of what type of dude Steph Curry is, man. And but yeah, as far as the competition, I definitely think Sabrina make a little bit of a run, but at the end of the day, Curry's gonna yeah, I mean, it's really going against the best shooter in the world, man. So good luck.
if there's ever an event that someone's built for it, it's Steph Curry in a 3-point contest.
I'm telling you, man. So good deal. Saturday continues with the Kia Skill Challenge. So they go with three teams. They got the Team Pacers, which includes Tyrese Haliburton, Benedict Mathurin, and Miles Turner. Team Top Picks, which includes Paolo Banchero, Anthony Edwards, and Victor Wembanyama. And then Team All-Stars, which is Scottie Barnes, Tyrese Maxey, and Trae Young. So one All-Star and two replacements. Your thoughts on this skill challenge? This one is always pretty cool, man. They always try to focus on dribbling, passing, and layup. So they build a crash course. And I always find this competition to be pretty funny because you'll see how some of these try to be all casual and look like it's always like a look show with them. But there are some people that are like, no, go, go, go. And so I'm really determined to figure out who's going to be that group to look cool doing it. And then they got to pick up the speed later on. So what's your thoughts of the team build-ups here, Team Top Picks and Team Pacers? I know you spoke highly of Tyrese Haliburton. So his city, his team is hosting this. So thoughts about this event?
I mean, he's prepped to be able to do all the things in that event by himself. I think they just had to give him two other guys. I mean, when it comes to any kind of dribbling, passing, he's got that down packed. I mean, the guy's just a wizard with the basketball. Regardless of his jump shot, he's actually a pretty good shooter too, which is crazy because that is not a pretty jump shot. But, no. I mean, it's interesting to see Wembanyama in something like this because that guy is just different. So seeing him run the little obstacle course or do whatever it is he's got to do, it'll be interesting to see because that's like 9 feet tall and he moves around like a guard. The team All-Stars, yeah, they couldn't get three better guys. I mean, Maxey and – I mean, cool for Scotty Barnes, but I mean, I think Team Top Picks is the one that takes this one. I just think that Paolo's got a great skill set. If they have to knock down a shot, Anthony Edwards can knock down a shot, and then Wembanyama can just do all the things. So based off these three teams, I'm gonna go Team Top Picks and see my man Paolo on national TV, get him a little win.
Yeah. Nah, I'm with you on the Team Top Picks. I'm just more intrigued to see how's that bounce pass going to like from Victor Wembanyama. You know, he's he's got to back up a little bit more. So, and then him dribbling, which we know he can dribble the ball well. And I mean, he don't need to do that. He's just going to do a dunk. The dude's 7'4" and got a wingspan of almost 8 feet. So, nah, but I'm with you, man. I'm with team top picks. I don't know what they was thinking with the team all star. They like, hey, here you go. We'll just put you together, put this on here, the team backups. They should have just did backups. That's the case. Just all star backups or.
Yeah, it's a reserve team. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but no, this we'll see what happens. But it's always fun to see who's going to try to look pretty doing it. So the 3-point shooting the 3-point contest, the Starry 3-point contest. So the names feature in this contest, Malik Beasley from the Bucks, Jalen Brunson from the Knicks, Tyrese Haliburton from the Pacers, Damian Lillard from the Bucks. Bucks get two of them, huh? Lauri Markkanen from the Jazz, Donovan Mitchell from the Cavaliers, Karl-Anthony Towns. Damian Lillard's the defending champion, by the way. And then Trae Young from the Hawks. So who's your top three? Who you think who's gonna be your top three? Out of those eight.
Out of those eight, my top three, I'll take Lillard. I'll take Brunson. And I'll take Towns.
Ooh. Nice.
Three guys that don't technically, you know, rely on their legs to shoot jump shots. So I think that's always the advantage you have. Someone like Donovan Mitchell, yeah, he can knock down threes, but that guy just elevates so much on his threes. And you know, this is one of those contests where I think when you change your form for some of this, it takes a minute to kind of get your legs back. So I think he's doing it for fun, but I think this is going to go for a guy who just, you know, little legs. And that's going to be your Lillard, your Karl-Anthony Towns, and your Jalen Brunsons.
All right. I think my top three is going to be Trae Young, Lauri Markkanen, and Damian Lillard. I just think Markkanen is just a sniper. Dude just going to go off. Trae Young just – he gets hot, man. He gets going. He's a flamethrower. Same with Damian Lillard. So this is going to be a fun contest. So who you think win it?
I'll take Lillard again.
A little for the repeat, huh? I got Lauri. I got Lauri winning it. Lauri Markkanen is going to pull it out.
Big man.
Yeah. Go to big man. So I think he's going to pull it out. So
Cat won it a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, I remember Cat winning it a couple years ago. Sure did. All right, and then the four players that will compete in the slam dunk competition. You have Jaylen Brown. Superstar is going to be in this. It's going to be fun. Or at least one of the better-known stars is going to be in this. All-star. Jamie Jaquez Jr. from the Heat. Jacob Toppin. From the Westchester Knicks, and then Matt McClung from the Osceola Magic, who was the defending slam dunk champion.
Took the league by storm.
That dude is ridiculous, and I see why Orlando signed him to – this is for what? Get more publicity here in case he wins it again. Talk about Jaylen Brown being this, man, because like I said, it's been a while since we had like a top-notch star, and we've been begging stars to come in the slam dunk contest because it's – we get so many players that we know that can be high risers and dunkers, but the dunk contest is either hit or miss. Sometimes it's one out of every 3 or 4 years is a really good contest, and then most of the time it's a dud. But Mac McClung took that by storm. He was doing dunks on first tries that we didn't see. And Mac McClung is not – he's tall, but not that tall.
Yeah, I think that's part of the lure of the competition is just he's not a big guy. So when you see him do things, it looks different when you see it in person. Seeing a guy who is probably what like 6'2", if that, doing the things that he does. So he has the wow factor in his side. I mean, I've never seen Jacob Toppin play. I'm assuming he's just as, you know, athletic as OB is. So, I mean, I could only imagine the things he's going to do. Mm-hmm. And then someone like Jaylen Brown, he's, I don't look at him as like a highlight guy. You know, like he isn't, he's not a flashy kind of guy. Like he has some dunks in games. A lot of them are momentum dunks. He, you know, catch an alley-oop or he'll get a breakaway steal and he'll just kind of dunk it. But like, I don't look at him as like a flashy dunker.
He's like a power dunker.
Yeah, he just dunks hard, you know?
Yeah.
And then Jaime Jaquez Jr., sure. Yeah.
He's got low key on that hops, though. Like, you watch some of his tape in UCLA, he's going to surprise some people. Listen, that dude got some hops. It'd be interesting to see how it plays in this, but it's a good feel. It's a good feel. They just, when I got to ask you this, Paul, how many dunk attempts is too many?
they should go back to just getting like three. You should get three shots.
Yeah.
That's it.
Don't waste our time.
Three strikes, you're out.
Because now the allure of the dunk when you do it, it took you 10 times to do it. It's not as entertaining anymore. You know what I'm saying?
You lose the element of surprise. You lose kind of what you're going to do. Like if I see you fail a dunk six times, I don't even care if you make it anymore.
That's my point. Exactly there. All right. Who you got winning the dunk contest?
I'm going to go Mac McClung again. I just think small guys have an advantage in this competition. I just think they can do, when they do things, it looks different. Like he could do a dunk that someone's already done, but because he does it, it just looks different. So he has that in his corner. I mean, similar to a big guy, though, someone like a Jaime Jaquez Jr., like, because he's taller. Yeah. So if he does some real athletic stuff, like, it looks different than when someone just like a Jaylen Brown does something, because, like, okay, he's kind of built to do certain things. But I just think Matt McClung got nothing better to do than he's just over there in the G League at practice doing God knows what. And I can only imagine the type of things he's got up his sleeve. And that paycheck for winning the dunk contest is probably bigger than he'll get all year. So he's playing for some incentive.
No, absolutely, man. And it's one of those two that with Matt, and that's the thing, like, yeah, we know he's a dunker, but because he's been playing our G League team, I haven't seen too many dunks, like highlight dunks from him. Like he's scoring buckets and doing stuff that he needed to do in the league. But for him to be like, if you sit there and watch his game, like, yo, this is like a top notch dunker. Like he doesn't really play that way. So, interesting. But yeah, I'm going Mac too. I think Mac just dunk package is ridiculous. His ability to land dunks within like the first or second try. I'm interested to see what does he got in store. It is cool to see Jaylen Brown here. So hopefully we get more stars coming and do this. So maybe Jaylen Brown doing this, it will start getting more stars come in to really be in the dunk contest, because that's what it's about, man. We had the biggest names do it earlier in the NBA days, so it'd be cool to see what happens here with it. So, all right, so the big game on Sunday, 8:00, and they're going back to the format East versus West. They're not doing that whole. Yeah, thank I know. God. They're not doing that whole team Giannis versus team LeBron anymore. So it's literally going to be East versus West, which right Paul said, thank goodness. So rosters just deep, although we know the rosters, Paul. Who you think is going to what comer is going to win this game? And then who you think your MVP is going to be? And then, you know, we got so many players in this list here. So
I'm gonna go with the Western Conference. I just think they're the better conference. You know, as far as MVP, honestly, I think this is a game where someone like a Shea Gilgeous-Alexander can really come out and show out and make some crazy plays. You know, they don't play a lot of defense. He's an MVP candidate right now. So I'm gonna take the little dark horse there. I'm gonna go the Western Conference wins, and I would take Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as the MVP.
Gotcha.
He can tell everybody to go home.
This game be really interesting. Joel Embiid was playing, but he's not. They still got a lot of size though in the East, and it's like once they the West go to the bench, they really can take off. Like the East, of course, I want the East to win it because I got a guy that's on the team on the East. But I'm going to West, and I'm going to go with Devin Booker to be the MVP. Then he's going to be that sixth man off the bench, really start blazing the guns, go off. So Devin Booker will be my MVP. So good stuff. Good stuff.
While we're on this topic, really quick, who do you think – who is your snub? Like, who do you think – got the short end of the stick in all-star selection? Either didn't make it, isn't a starter. Who do you think belongs either as a starter with who's chosen, obviously, or didn't make the reserves from what you've seen?
The West is so deep, man, and it's just so unfair. Two names come to mind with De'Aaron Fox and Jamal Murray, who is yet to make an all-star team. I'm just trying to understand that one. I know maybe they got off to a slow start with the Nuggets and then with that, but Jamal Murray should be an all-star, man. But then you go down this list and you see people like, well, Devin Booker, Steph Curry, Anthony Edwards, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard. Their team is – they done came back risen from the dead, man. They started off 3-7 when they got Harden. And
yeah,
now they're on the top of the near the top of the West. They've been making this run here. So it's just hard for the West, man. Like it really is, man. Like it's crazy. I'm glad they went back to the East and West. Don't get me wrong. But those are my two guys. I feel like De'Aaron Fox is having a hell of a year. You know, I know they kind of came back to earth with the West being shuffled around and there's a lot of movement there. So they're like in the middle of the pack in the West. But I'm surprised that the Kings don't even have one player on here. So yeah,
even Jokic like, is doing even like a Sabonis, like Sabonis is really good too.
Yeah, yeah. But then again, it's like you're looking at Carmelo Towns, who's having a heck of a year. The Minnesota Timberwolves were. I mean, I know it's been shuffling up and down. It was number one seed in the West for the longest of time. It's been bouncing back between them and the Clippers you know, and OKC. So it's I don't envy these coaches for picking these teams in the West. It's just so much talent out there. And you just feel for guys like Jamal Murray, who hasn't made one, and De'Aaron Fox, who is having a heck of a year. It's a bummer, man. Dudes, you know, averaging a shade under 30 points per game and passing the ball as well as he did. And it's unfortunate for sure. The East, I mean, as far as like snubs, they pretty much for the most part got it right. Yeah, Trae Young's got a case for sure. But, you know, injuries does happen for sure. I'm glad he got to be on there as reserve. I'm really trying to understand the whole Scottie Barnes selection being the reserve. But I don't understand that one. But I mean, he has his moments, but now ever since that OG trade, you know, RJ Barrett's been showing up more than he did.
Mm-hmm.
RJ Barrett has been the one that they've been running the plays through. So, let's see a little bit more from Scottie Barnes for sure. He does got talent. Don't get me wrong. I know there's a lot of beef between Magic and Raptors fans for sure. But they go back and forth about this all the time about Scottie better and all this stuff. But no, it's crazy, man, out there in the East as far as who could have got it. But Tyrese Maxey did deserve it, though. I'm glad he got selected for sure. He did deserve to be on the team.
100%. But for me, and this is my, you know, my inner Knicks, you know, fandom coming out, but Jalen Brunson not being a starter to me is highway robbery. Like, I understand – you know, Dame Lillard, I get it. But statistically, if I showed you their stats side by side and told you and asked you which one was Dame Lillard and which one was Jalen Brunson, you would probably think Jalen Brunson was Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Almost 28 a game, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. Dame at 25 a game, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. Knicks are way ahead of where we thought they'd be. Lillard went to potentially the best team in the Eastern Conference. It's tough. I think it would have been great for the Knicks to have a starter in the All-Star game. I think it would have been great for the city. It would have been great for Jalen Brunson. I mean, sure, he's a reserve. That's awesome. You know, his first All-Star game. But, you know, he'll have many opportunities to be in there again. But I just think based
absolutely
off the stretch that he put together the last 2 months, month and a half, it's hard. Especially when, you know, he doesn't miss a lot of games. You know, Halliburton was hurt. I know the game's in Indiana, so obviously, you know, that's fine. But to have two Bucks in the starting lineup just doesn't, you know, rub me the right way, having Giannis and Dame in there. I think you could have brought Dame off the bench and it wouldn't have made a difference. Let someone else get the starting nod. But it's really my only gripe, man. I mean, there's a lot of good guys and only, you know, 12 guys or whatever per team get to make it. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, shout out Donovan Mitchell for what he's doing in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
He's another guy. If he was a starter, I wouldn't be mad. But
yep.
But I just think the guard position in the Eastern Conference is very deep right now. It's similar to, like, the big men in the West. Like, there's a lot of guards mm-hmm. in the East that you can give this to. Like you said, Trae Young. The fact that he was a injury replacement's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on a bad team. But I mean, the guy's leading the league in assists on a terrible team.
Yeah, he's doing his part. Like, honestly, I mean, it is what it is. And he is playing well. And, I mean, if we want to talk about, you know, losing, Steph Curry's on a losing team. But I know they all legacy.
Yeah.
Legacy. Yeah, but that, I mean, that shouldn't matter. Like, at the end of the day, like, yeah, I know it's cool. But, like, if we're going to say losing is a prerequisite, you know, Curry is on the All-Star team and his team has a losing record. I mean, so it's really that argument is bullish. Now I hear you, man. Jalen Brunson is, and his story, man, is just so cool, man. Like, he's, you can tell even the interview he had before the game, he's just so appreciative of being where he's at and, you know, where he get here. And dude's a dog, man. I literally just watched the Knicks play last night, man, and dude had 34 points. So he's, I know he got sick of Tyler's talking about AB is the Jalen Brunson stopper. Nah, he came out with a vengeance. That dude dropped 25 in the first half. Like, nah, this dude can't stop me. Yeah. I was like, yeah, we came out. Yeah, AB, we're going to put AB. He's the Jalen Brunson stop. Didn't matter. Jalen Brunson was getting buckets.
Don't matter.
Yep. He was getting buckets. So
don't matter.
He'll be
a starter. He'll be a starter in the near future. I mean, his ceiling is tremendous. And it's cool to see the Knicks, you know, in a place where they're talked about positively. But just hats off to Jalen Brunson for all he's done, you know, especially now with the injuries that teams had, he still just comes out every game and just gives it his all. So, you know, but look at the guard heavy. I mean, look at the reserves in the East. They literally have one center, Bam Adebayo, and then they have Paolo, and then the rest of the guys are pretty much guards. You have a couple guard forwards in Jaylen Brown and Scottie Barnes, but they're kind of primary ball handlers in their team for the most part. And then you got Brunson, Maxey, Mitchell, and Young. So I mean, the West can just bully them all day long if they wanted to
rebound them. That's why I said this matchup would be so interesting if you had Randle and Embiid, because Randle and Embiid are physical.
Yeah.
And it would have been fun to watch that matchup, but there's so much size in the West, man. It's a problem. So Paolo's physical. Don't get me wrong. Giannis is physical, but man, to have Bam's physical too. But like the rest of these players, like pretty much finesse. Brunson got a little bulldog on him to be his size, but you know, it's one of those that listen. It's the West just got so much length, man. Like it's gonna be a fun game. I think it's gonna be a fun game.
They do that for sure.
Yeah, they do that fourth quarter where it's they the final 1-24 in honor of Kobe Bryant. So that fourth quarter, they accumulate the scores, and they get to the fourth quarter, and it's like the first one that scores the differential of the 24 points. Like, so you have your target, you have the three quarters, and then they set the target based on the 24. So this is where you got to get to. So let's say, for example, of course, the East is playing the West, and it's they're down 100 to not 105. So as the West may have scored 24, the East has to score 29 to win. And so it's just that's the target number that they got to hit. So I'm looking forward to competitive basketball. I took half days off, man. This is glorious for me, man. I'm going to be in there. So good stuff. Well, gearing more towards basketball. I'm going to get more guys to talk hoops on here. Paul's going to carry it in. And whenever NFL stuff comes up, we'll definitely get that covered as well.
I'm excited for basketball. I've watched more basketball this year than I've watched in a long time. So I'm excited for basketball.
Good stuff, man. So it should be good times here, and we're looking forward to bringing out some more content, man. I'm excited to kind of make this switch to basketball. We'll recap, NBA All-Star Weekend and what we think about all the events and all that. So it's going to be fun, man. So nonetheless, make sure y'all stay tuned with me and Paul next week. We'll be back at it for sure. You can follow the podcast page on Twitter at BIOC Podcast. Paul, tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, I'm on X at @the_Paul_Mac, and then on Instagram at @thepaulmac520.
Catch me. Absolutely. There. I'm at @InTheMindOfCP at Twitter or X as well. I'm just not used to calling it X yet, man.
So it's Twitter, man.
I know, man. It's just weird to say. So also, if you look down below in our banner, here's other information you get. Go to our Facebook, Balls Not Court Podcast. Give us a like there. YouTube channels, BIOC Podcast. TikTok, Instagram, same thing, BIOC Podcast. Give us a like, comment, shot there as well. Go to Balls Not Court Podcast and go to our Anchor, which go over to Spotify, which is anchor.fm, Cortez-Ball. We also are on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, all these other sites that you get the content at. We're literally everywhere. So literally we got a link tree that we link our where you can get our content at. And we just appreciate you guys listening and glad, hope y'all had a fun time watching the Super Bowl. Transition down to basketball, touch some football stuff here whenever it happens. So once again, speaking for Paul, Matt, Cortez, Paul, Balls Not Court Podcast. Take care, ladies and gentlemen.
Peace.